Every letter in Arabic has a name, and the names of these letters always start with the letter itself. So for example, this letter is called Ba, and its name starts with the letter Ba. And this letter is Noon, and its first letter is also a Noon. This is true for every single letter in Arabic, except for one single letter. This letter. This letter is called Alif. The first letter of the word Alif is not an Alif, but it is what we call Hamza. So why can't we start a word with an Alif? And is it even possible to do that? And what is Hamza? And how is it any different from Alif? And how can this help us improve our Quran recitation? The answer to all of these questions can be found in learning the difference between Alif and Hamza. So let's find out what these differences are. But before we do that, we first need to know how they look like, so that when we start talking about them, we would then know what we're going to apply the rules on. So Alif in the Quran, and basically all Arabic texts, has four variations. First is just a generic Alif letter, with nothing on top or under it, like in the word qarar, and the dagger alif, or as we call it in Arabic, alif khinjariya, which is that small little alif sign, like in the word hadha. Third is alif with a mad sign, as in the word du'a. And when you're reciting the Qur'an, this alif in this position is then extended for 5 counts, or 5 harakat. And at the end of words, you can sometimes see it looking like that, like in the word ala. And this is called alif maqsura. I explained this type of alif in particular in this video, so make sure to check it out, it is quite useful. You'll find the links in the description. So these were all the forms and shapes which we call alif in the Quran and also elsewhere. And as for the hamza, it has 5 variations. First and most common is the hamza when it comes on top or under the alif, as in the word a'rab or Ibrahim. Second, when the hamza comes completely alone, like in the word جاءهم. Third, when it comes on top of a ياء, which we call in Arabic همزة على ياء, as in the word أولئك or فئة. Fourth, when it comes with this sign on top, which always happens at the beginning of words beginning with L, like in the word الكتاب. And this type of hamza we call hamzat al-wasl. Make sure to check out these two lessons if you want to learn more about this topic. You'll find the links in the description. And finally, hamza can also look like that. And this is found in one single instance in the Quran, in this word, a'jami. Alright, now that we know what alif and hamza look like, let's find out what the differences are between them. And after we learn the differences, we can then properly apply them when we see them in different forms as we read the Quran. Difference number one. Alif is a vowel sound, while Hamza is a consonant sound. So what does this mean? This means that Alif can be extended for as long as you want. That's why it is one of the mad letters in the Quran. It can be extended for 2, 3, 4, 5, and even 6 harakat. But the hamza, being a consonant, cannot be extended. The sound is eh, just like any other consonant sound. Beh, teh. They cannot be extended. Now let's consider this example to understand this completely.
ما قطعتم من لينة أو تركتموها قائمة على أصولها.
Now, can you tell how many instances of Alif and Hamza you can see in this example? Well, there are 5 times Alif in these positions, and there are 3 times Hamza in these positions. So in every one of these positions, Alif has the ability to extend. So when I say ma, I can extend it for 2 harakat because this is what I should do in this position. But also in this word, qa'ima, I can extend it up to 5 harakat because this is a mad letter. Also, the word ala ends with an alif, alif maqsura, that can be extended for 2 harakat, and it can be extended for 4 harakat if I choose to. So I may say,
ala usuliha,
and I can also say,
ala usuliha.
So the alif can be extended when necessary. But as for the hamza, it cannot be extended since the nature of the sound itself comes from cutting airflow passing through your throat. So it cannot be extended. أو
قائمة
أصولها. All of these instances contain a hamza, which is a stopping of airflow. So alif is a vowel, extendable. Hamza is a consonant, cannot be extended. This takes us directly to the next difference. Difference number 2, which is that alif can never receive fatha, dhamma, or kasra. Why? Because alif is already a vowel. So you can't put a vowel on top of another vowel. It is simply phonetically impossible. Hamza, on the other side, can take all sorts of vowel signs. Fatha, dhamma, kasra, and even tanween. Let us notice here the differences when they are both used in the Quran.
في الدنيا والآخرة كي لا يكون يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا.
Notice that all of these words contain an alif. And notice how alif in every one of these examples has no vowel on top or under it, even if it comes at the end of a word. Now let's have a look at this example to see the difference.
وَاذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ.
In this example, we see 3 different variations of the hamza with 3 different vowels. First, with kasra in the word Ibrahim, then with dhamma in the word uli, and last with fatha in the word al-abasar. So hamza can receive short vowels with no problems. And that was difference number 2. Difference number 3. Starting a word with alif is impossible, while hamza can occur in any part of the word. Now, why can't we start a word with alif? Now, since alif is a vowel, which means that it always has sukun on top, this means that we can never start a word with alif. Why? Because in Arabic, we can never start a word with sukun, which we explained extensively in this lesson about Noon Qutni, which you can find here and also in the description. So check it out if you want to learn more about this topic. So this means that alif can only come in the middle or at the end of the word, but never in the beginning. With hamza, this is not a problem. It can appear anywhere in the word.
beginning, middle, and at the end. So these were the three major differences between Hamza and Alif. Now, the fact that there are differences between them doesn't mean that we can't use them together. In fact, there are certain combinations in which the use of Hamza and Alif goes hand in hand. The first combination is when Alif comes first and after it comes Hamza. And when this happens, we have what we call connected med. Like when we say,
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ.
There's also another combination in which Hamza comes first and after it comes an Alif. And the result is that we will have a Hamza followed by a natural med. But if this combination happened outside the Quranic script, it is going to look like that. However, in the Quran, we do not use this sign for this combination, which we see in many instances in the Quran in words like آمَنَ, آدَم, آخَر. Like in this example,
آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِن رَبِّهِ.
So a Hamza, and then after it a natural med of two harakat. But also a Hamza can follow another Hamza, like in this example.
قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ.
And here you're going to notice that when you pronounce two of the same letters one after the other, the word becomes heavier.
أَأَنْتُمْ.
That's why, if these two Hamzas are followed by the letter Ayn, this combination will be pronounced differently. Why? Because Ayn comes very closely to where we pronounce Hamza. So, when this happens, Arabs would then pronounce the second Hamza a bit lightly so that it makes it easier for you to pronounce three letters that are pronounced more or less from the same position. And this happens in the Quran in one single instance. And we can directly notice the little circle on top of the second Hamza to signify that this Hamza should be pronounced a bit lightly, like so.
A'jamiyyun wa 'arabi,
rather than
A'jamiyyun wa 'arabi,
which is quite heavy to pronounce. And above all, and the main reason we pronounce it like that, is because we learned it like that directly from the Prophet, peace be upon him, who taught it to his companions, and his companions taught it in exactly the same way to those who followed until it reached us today. So, in a nutshell, Alif and Hamza are not the same. Alif can take these forms, and Hamza can be seen in these forms. Alif is a vowel, and therefore a med letter. And Hamza is a consonant, so it cannot be extended. Which means that Alif always has sukun, while Hamza can take any vowel on top or under. And this means that you cannot start a word with an Alif, while Hamza can come in any position in the word. And finally, and if you're still wondering whether Hamza is a separate alphabet letter, and whether the Arabic alphabet is 28 or 29 letters, let me tell you this. The answer to this question is still controversial to date, even among the greatest Arabic grammarians. And to be honest, knowing the definite answer to this question should not affect knowing the difference between Alif and Hamza and applying this knowledge on your Quran recitation. Thanks for watching. I hope you have learned something new today. If you did, please like and share the video for other people to learn from it. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel if you want to see more videos like this. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.